Father, we just invite you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do what only you can do.
Yes.
Lord, we want your words to go beyond our mind, beyond our understanding, even beyond the desire of our heart. We want them to go down into our spirit, where we can own the reality and the life, the breaking forth of life from your words into us, Lord, to change us, to transform us. Father, it amazes me that as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. That just amazes me. But Father, as we pray right now, please alter the fashion of our countenance, that we would not be seen, that you would be seen. Father, that your presence, your glory would shine. Open your word to us, Lord. Lord, we just want to lay down our lives. We invite you to search us. If there's anything in us blocking us from receiving your word, expose it to us even now. God, expose our sin and grant us repentance. Let us see it as you do, that we can choose you and reject the sins that want to live in us, the spirits that want to dominate. Lord, we give ourselves to you and we desire to know you. For true salvation is to know you. We want to know you. Thank you, Lord. We put this time in your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been having some unusual experiences with God lately. And, you know, I love him to give me a lot of revelation. Sometimes it comes in layers, just like every day, another one, another one, another one, and like I'm carrying two journals around because I haven't shared it all. Ooh, money, too. I'm carrying around two journals because I have not shared what he's been giving me completely for the last couple of weeks. So I wanted to start at the very beginning because he's just got a real awesome new revelation in Psalm 23 of that table he's preparing before us. And then he brought this thing about Jesus' countenance being altered as he prayed. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I know my countenance gets altered when I pray because it's usually got so much sin on it, you know. I'm going to go in with anger and I come out with love and I go in there with stress and I come out with peace. And, you know, I've got things that need to get altered. Jesus didn't need any altering. He's already God. And yet, as he spent time in the presence of his Father, he began to just glow. Moses went up that mountain and he got to spend 40 days in the presence, in the very manifest presence of God. And when he came down the mountain, his face was shining so bright, he had to put a veil over it because people couldn't look at him. I said, I would like to get in God's presence that way. That would be so awesome, wouldn't it? Our God is a consuming fire. He's a burning light of holiness. He is vibrant, pulsating, regenerating life. Boy, just to come in his presence that close and be transformed. And yet he's so good and kind and patient. He doesn't want to kill us. So he can only come as close as we can let him come. Because, see, we have stuff we're even blind to. Even when we don't want any sin living us, we still got pride. Even when we're trying to repent, we still have so much in the way of God. And he so kindly just shows us a little bit. We repent, practice walking in that repentance, and he comes a little closer. And as we get rid of more, he comes a little closer. And we just want to get to the place that God can pour down in this ministry, in this room, and we can experience a greater presence of our God. That's what God wants to do. He's looking. He's looking for places where he can do that. Because see, in the end days, which we're very close to, the glory of the Lord is going to cover the face of the earth.
Right.
How is he going to do that? He's going to do it through his people.
Right.
Because God has chosen to work through his people.
Right.
So for his glory to cover the face of the earth like never before, we're going to kind of have to shine like Moses did.
Right.
But how did he get that glow? 40 days in the presence of God. I think when he first got up there, and the reason it was 40 days is God had to layer by layer by layer by layer get rid of some things in Moses that he didn't even know he had. He had to burn those things away. And then he had to do some healing of the woundedness in Moses. He had to do some bringing him into revelations and truths and stirring up hungering inside of Moses to want only God.
Right.
And he prepared a man who could walk back down among people who didn't understand, who didn't had not been with God that way, and who were going to be mad at Moses when he told them their sin. And even though some of these people followed him out of Egypt, they gave him trouble every step of the way. See, God wants to bring every one of you, because it's your choice. He wants to bring every single one of you closer to himself. He wants to come closer into your life. He wants to anoint you like he did Moses. We have to want that. We have to cooperate with that. Well, I had a dream the other night, and there's reasons God can't come that close. He is holy and pure and good and morally clean.
Yes.
And he cannot come near and live near intentional sin.
Right.
So, see, you can be right in the very presence and enjoying God, and then all of a sudden he comes to something, somebody that irritates you, and you go, well, I would never do what they're doing. Bam. There's pride. God backs up. God has to back up a little bit and turn away from us. I don't want him to keep turning away. I want to turn away from some things.
Right.
So he won't have to turn away from me.
Amen.
And not look on that sin. So I had a dream the other night, and in my dream, I kept seeing good, godly, Christian, dedicated, sold out people who want to please God grieving him. And the way they were grieving him is they were using the word holy to talk about a cow, holy cow. Or they were using the word holy to talk about defecation, C-R-A-P. And they were putting the word holy in front of that word. You can't get more unholy than human or animal waste. And they were using the word holy to describe human waste. And God was so grieved. Now, if you've heard someone do that, they don't have a clue that they are grieving God. They don't mean to grieve God. They don't mean to blaspheme God. But they're taking a word that describes God's purity.
Yes.
Describes who he is. It is the word that the angels, the only word of worship the angels use, because it says everything. It says that he's righteous. It says that he's clean. It says that he's pure. It says that he's just. It says that he is honest and true and powerful and majestic and royal. Holy says everything that belongs to God. And it's the only word the angels even have. They've boiled down everything about God and brought it into the word holy. And before his throne, day and night, for all eternity, the angels cry, holy, 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 because it is the description of God.
Right.
He's a consuming fire, holy. He is life, holy. Holy describes God. And we have degraded God. We have brought him down to good buddy. He's not good buddy.
Nope.
He is our father.
Yes.
But the world has corrupted the picture of father. Fathers sometimes aren't acting like fathers. They a good father, God our father, he loves us so much that he is patient, extremely patient. Everything in Galatians describes God, that he's long-suffering, merciful. He's joyful. He's peace. He's an awesome, wonderful, wonderful, loving father. But he also doesn't tolerate disobedience, sin, stubbornness, rebellion, greed, pride. A good father does not let those evil spirits own you.
Right.
So when those things happen, a good father disciplines.
Yes.
We don't understand the discipline of God because we live in a society that has become very slack. There's a lot of things that we allow that were not allowed 100 years ago.
Right.
And now we don't have a big deal. We don't have a big problem with them. People living together and never getting married, that wasn't accepted in our country.
No.
That was a shame. That was embarrassing. Pregnancy outside of marriage, sexual relations outside of marriage, that was not just, oh, well, everybody does. No. That was considered very, very immoral, very bad.
Right.
Drunkenness, the drugs, the attitude in the home of spoiling children and let them do anything they want. That isn't love.
No. Nope.
Because a child left to himself not only brings the mother to shame, but ends up in hell.
Yep.
Because they can never surrender their life to God. They don't know how
right.
to surrender and obey. They live entirely in pride and selfishness. And that's the kingdom of darkness. That
yes.
is not God's kingdom.
True.
We have left the ways of God. And everybody goes, well, God knows I try. No. God cannot look on sin.
No.
He's loving, kind, and merciful, but that in no way leaves an escape for people to just live in sin.
No way.
So we've brought down... See, there's such a fine line. We used to go into a church where it was all, don't breathe, kneel, sing, give your money, go out the door, and be afraid to breathe in the presence of God because He's so holy. But He's also loving. He invites us to climb up on His lap and be cuddled and loved. And He wants that deep, real relationship.
Yes.
If you keep seeing Him as the perfect Father, He wants a good relationship with you. He wants to spoil you with gifts, with blessings. He wants to be right there with you, kissing you, healing you, holding you. He wants the intimacy, but He does not tolerate the sin. He's long-suffering about our sin. He forgives us over and over and over. He forgives us. But He doesn't just say, it's okay to continue doing it. There will be consequences so that those consequences lead us to stop doing it. So we need to bring back the holiness, the respect of who God is, the worship of a holy, pure God, and the word holy in my dream. It's like God put His heart inside of me. So every time somebody said holy about something other than Him, it broke my heart. And He put a warning in me. He put a warning in me. And there were good people, people who love God, that they were foolishly, ignorantly using this word, and they didn't know what they were doing. And it just grieved me, and I would tell each person, no, 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 you can't say that word holy in front of this defiling word. You can't do it because God is coming closer. He hasn't stayed back from you, and that's one of the reasons. But He's coming closer, and you would die if you said that when He's standing a little closer.
Yep.
You see, God wants to come so close to us. He's getting ready to pour out a greater, powerful degree of anointing of His presence on us. But it would kill us if we don't let go of some things. So He's so kind, He won't come that close if you're not ready. Some people are going to get it, and they're going to just say, do whatever, God, you've got to get me ready because I want this. I want you to come closer. And some people are not going to do that, and it is going to kill some people. When God comes that close, He's a fire. He's a consuming fire. Consuming fire will either bring repentance if you receive it, or will kill you if you reject it.
Right.
But it's coming either way. God is coming either way. We are getting closer to this day, this visitation. I want to say the last day, the last time. We're getting closer to that too. But even prior to that, there is a day of visitation.
Yes.
And I think it's part of our preparation for the end. That day of visitation is getting very close. And therefore, we have to sound the warnings. Like Joel said, blow those trumpets, sound the warning. God is coming. He's close. And this use of the word holy is one of the warnings that He is sounding. bring back the holy respect of what that word is. It is the full description of your God. Don't describe anything else with it but God and the things of God. Hebrews has a definition of holiness in Hebrews 6. No, that's the definition number 6944. It says a sacred place, person, or thing. Sanctity, consecrated, hallowed, pure, and clean. Exodus 3:5. God said to Moses, draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. Put off your shoes from off your feet. For the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Moses wanted to turn aside from life and come into the very presence and see God. He said, I'm going to do it. And he started up that mountain and he got to the top. He's getting closer, closer, closer to the very presence of God. The burning fire. That means he's getting closer to repentance, the burning fire. And as he got close and he got up to the top, God said, whoa, stop, Moses. Do not come any closer until you take off your dirty shoes. See, those dirty shoes, they represented sin. They represented where we're walking all day, every day, around in this world, where we get defiled and we get bad attitudes, we get unforgiveness, we get angry, we get critical. We get our shoes dirty because we walk around in a sinful world all day, every day. All those things get on our shoes. And God said, you've been seeking me. You've been coming up the mountain. You've been coming close. But now, see the fire. Don't come any closer till you take off those shoes. You got to take off some things with repentance. Because even the ground. See, he wasn't even in the very, very fire. He was only on the ground getting close to the fire. God said, the whole ground now is holy. Even the ground you're about to walk on coming to me is now holy. So get out of your sin. Get out of the filth. Now we get back in it, I'm sorry to say, because we put our shoes on every time we move 3 inches from the fire. We put those shoes back on. We sin again and again and again. We don't want to and we hate it and then we do it again. I hate that about me. But every time you want more, you want to come closer. Every time, there's the confession. Stop. You want to come closer to God? It's going to take confession. It's going to take getting off our dirty shoes. You have to stop. You have to say, search me, God. Search me, oh God. If you see any wickedness in me, if you see anything in me that could block me from coming closer, take it. Show me. Grant me repentance. I want to be able to come closer. Hunger for that closeness. And take off your shoes. For the ground is even holy in the approach to coming closer. We have to make a difference between holy and unholy. Leviticus 10:10. If you want to write these down and look them up later, or if you're really quick, you can just keep up. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. We need to take that word holy and make it different from every other word we ever use, because it is God's and it belongs to him alone.
Right, exactly.
There's some things that God calls holy. Exodus 3:5, we just saw God called the ground near the presence of God is holy. Exodus 12:16, God talks about the holy convocation. I'm just going to go there. My iPad's upside down. Exodus 12:16. I didn't know I was going to bring it this morning, so I didn't look up. When I know I'm going to bring it, I write every word out because I'm so slow looking things up myself. God said, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, except that which every man must eat, that only can be done of you. So God is talking about basically church. Back then it was going to the temple. He said one day of the week shall be a holy convocation. That means a gathering of God's people. In other words, church. Holy convocation. He calls this time of gathering a holy time. This is a holy meeting. church is a holy place. We have got to a place where, because God allows us to say, let's have a cup of coffee and you can sit at a table. I like to sit at tables because then I can write notes easier than on my lap over here. I like the tables. Because God has made us rejoice in his love, we dance and we sing. But it's still unto the Lord. It's still a holy meeting, a holy day, a holy place, a holy gathering of God's people. We have to bring back the holiness to the house of God if we want him to come. Because even the ground near the presence of God is holy. Then if we expect God to come to church, we have to create an atmosphere where he will come. We have to create an atmosphere where we are in a state of repentance, seeking God. We don't come here just to get the coffee. We don't come here just to talk to our friends. We don't come here just to get prayer. We don't come here just to say, well, I need, so pray for me. We want to do that. But we come here to get God. What good is prayer for you without the presence of God? You know, we're going to have to start another prayer ministry training. We don't let just anybody pray over you. Because a lot of places will pray what they think, what they want, what they feel, or worse, just what you ask them to pray. What you think, what you want, what you feel. We don't train to do that here. We train our ministers to ask God, what do you want me to say when I pray for this person? What do you want to speak into them and over them? And you wait and you listen and you pray what God tells you to pray. If he doesn't tell you anything, don't say anything. You don't have to cover for God. You can't just pray what you want. It's powerless. It's totally powerless. Powerful prayer happens when the presence of God is here. And if the presence of God is here, it just became a holy place. So we need to respect. We need to create a place that he will come. We need to come here repentive. Oh God, don't let me be someone who blocks you from showing up. Maybe you're showing up for everybody else and not me. Why? God, search me. I want you to show up closer to me. I mean, God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere. And I was thinking about that this morning because the angels, they're before his throne day and night saying, holy, holy, holy. They're not worshiping just the throne. God's on it. But God also likes to get up and dance. And God likes to be everywhere. He can be everywhere at the same time. In that, if Harvey is coming in the room full of anger toward me because I've burnt his breakfast again, if Harvey's coming in here and is like, I don't know why that woman can't pay attention to what she's doing, and he's got bitterness and anger toward me, and here comes the presence of God, and he has to step way over here. Say, I better, you know, step wide here, and over him, and into her, because she came repentant. She sought to be ready for me. She said, oh God, take away all my sin. I want you to come to me today. See, he can move through the room, come real close to some of you, and very carefully avoid some of you that you don't get burnt to death because you didn't want to repent. Our repentance, our hatred of our own sin, is what prepares the way so he can come closer. How close do you want him to come? Because he's coming. He's coming.
Amen.
I want him to come here.
Amen.
I want him to come here in a powerful way.
Amen.
I want him to come to me in a powerful way. With every one of us, it's individual. It's individual. He could be pouring out his power in this place, and you could be sitting in a corner going, I don't see a thing. I don't know a thing. That's up to you. That is up to you. God wants all of you. Many are called. The few that are chosen are the ones that want to be chosen.
Right.
They want their sin, God, so God can be more powerful in their life. Exodus 30. Jump over to chapter 30. So, God is holy. The ground he moves on is holy. The church should be holy. The meeting of his people should be holy. In Exodus 30, verse 25, thou shalt make an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. And it goes on to anoint the tabernacle, and the congregation. But everything that's going to be used of God gets anointed. What does that mean? The presence of God comes upon the people that he's going to flow through. When we use oil, when we pray over you when you're sick, it isn't because it's just olive oil. You can go buy it down at Meijer's. It's just olive oil until the presence of God moves in what you're doing with it.
Right.
Then it becomes holy anointing oil. When we put oil and you're being anointed as a minister, when the presence of God moves on the act of anointing a minister, that oil becomes holy. Only because the presence of God entered it.
Right.
Anything God touches or breathes on or is a part of becomes holy, including you.
Exactly.
God has called us to be a holy people. How can I be holy when every time I turn around I sin? I can be holy because the holy God lives inside of me. And when I let him, his holiness will flow out of me.
That's right.
We carry a holy God.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are on the earth. Now God goes on, this was back in the days of the law. So this word meant a treasure. God chose you to be a treasure unto himself. Now in the Old Testament he had a lot of rules about that. You could or couldn't cut your hair. You could or couldn't eat this meat. New Testament, he took away some of those rules. But the point was he chose you to be different.
Amen.
Peculiar. Something taken out from the rest, set aside for the purpose of God, and anointed with the very presence of God. And that makes you a holy people unto God.
Amen.
Matthew, let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. God calls his angels holy. Some people seek to see angels. I seek to see God.
Amen.
Sometimes you get an angel. God appears through an angel. And sometimes he says there's angels among you unaware. Meaning you don't even know they were angels because they just look like people. Maybe the person that's most repulsive to you is actually an angel of God. You know? But these angels that worship him day and night, these angels that carry his message, he calls them holy. Why? Because they carry God. Because God is in them when they're on a message, on a mission. When they're on a mission, God is in them and he is holy. So they are holy because they carry the holy God. Oil is holy because it's carrying the presence of God. You are holy when you carry the presence of God.
Right.
See, everything he touches, everything he uses, everything he moves in, breathes on, becomes holy.
Right.
Because God is a part of it.
Right.
Holy describes God.
Right.
He also mentioned his throne in that verse. Wherever God is, for the Lord thy God walks in the midst of your camp. This is Deuteronomy again, 23:14. I really like this, but before I read it again, if you want to go there, you can. Deuteronomy 23:14. People lived in what they called camps because they lived in tents. They were travelers. They were moving all the time. If you have a house, it's fastened in one spot. That's a house. But if you live in a camp, it means you have a tent. So you go somewhere, you move your tent there. So when God says your camp, to me what was quickened with that is you, yourself. Everywhere you go is your traveling tent. That's your camp. So everywhere you go, see that as your camp. And the Lord said, for the Lord thy God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you, to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, that he sees no unclean thing in you and turn not away from you. Now, I just pictured that. If you're walking in relationship with God, confessing your sin the minute you see you've sinned. Oh, God, I'm so sorry I did that again. Please forgive me. Get it out of my life. Whatever it is, see, sin travels in spirits. It was anger, spirit of anger. Get out of me. God is going to live here. God, forgive me. I want your Holy Spirit to fill my camp.
Yes.
And you walk in God. And he says, now I am all around you, like your campground. I go everywhere you go. And I go before you. And I will deliver you from your enemies. It's like you've got this giant protection of God.
Yes.
No unclean thing is to live in your camp.
Amen.
Now, unclean things visit our camp.
Yep.
They visit. They just come in all the time uninvited. Bad attitudes, pride, anger. See, these are unclean spirits. They come. And we have to kick them out.
That's right.
Because if you let them live in your camp, then the Holy God has to turn away from you.
Right.
Because he doesn't coexist and live with demons.
Right.
He doesn't coexist with your anger. He doesn't coexist with your pride. He does not have any influence and control on you when you give that influence and control to the enemy.
Right.
Well, God wants to help you kick the enemy out of your camp.
Amen.
All the time. Sometimes the enemy just gets us, you know, and he's got a stronghold and we just can't seem to get rid of him. But that's because we haven't learned to understand it isn't you. It truly is not you. You were created in the image of God.
Right.
You are just like your God.
Right.
So if there's selfishness, anger, pride, greed, that's not you. It is the enemy living in and through you.
Right.
Kick him out.
Right.
Depression is an awesome way to see how true that is. You can be laying there going, I don't care if I live or die. I can't get up because my legs weigh 5 tons. I'm just weighed down with a blanket of depression, and I can't help it. And the minute you say, depression, evil spirit, get off me. I will not listen to you.
Right.
Only God's going to live in me. God, what do you want? And God says, just stand up. And you stand up, bam. Life returns and you get moving.
That's right.
Now, if it was really you, it wouldn't change.
Right.
But it's not you. When anger comes and you want to get angry and start screaming, and you give in to it and do it, it gets a stronger hold. The minute you go, this is not the Spirit of God and it's not what I want, get out in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Sometimes he'll tell you to do something you don't want to do. Like apologize to the one that you're mad at. And the minute you do it, that anger spirit is broken and gone.
Right.
See, who do you let live in your camp?
Right.
Because if you give in to these spirits, God has to turn away. Because he doesn't look on sin. One or the other. One or the other. He's a holy God.
Amen.
1 Samuel 2:2. Holy. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Chapter 6, verse 20. Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Who could stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall go up from us? Now, I read that verse about 20 times because I've heard that before. Who can stand before this holy God? Nobody can stand before him unless his own spirit enters you and gives you his power to stand. But the next part, and to whom shall go up from us? I kept reading that and reading it. What are you saying here, God? I mean, I'm kind of feeling like maybe you're saying, who goes up from me? Does God go up from me, out of me? Or does the enemy go up from me? I said, God, what does it mean? He said, exactly what you just said. Who is going up from you? Who's in you, rising up in you, and going forth from you? God or the other spirits? Who's living in you? Nobody can stand before this holy God. And yet, when he comes inside of you, and he stands you up, you can stand with him.
Amen.
He will stand in you.
Yep.
His name is holy. I wasn't living the name I was born with I wasn't living that name. But when God gave me a new name and he told me what that new name meant, my new name meant beloved of God. My new name, he gave me two. He gave me a name and a nickname. The full name represented the ocean. And he said, down under the ocean are all these colors and mysteries and caves and things the world has never seen. He said, and I'm going to give you these mysteries in prophecy. I'm going to give you the mysteries and open my word. And then I'm going to let you bring them up to the surface of the ocean and give them to the waves that can carry them to the shore. He's a wave. That's a pretty cool name. But then he nicknamed it, and the nickname of it, when he brought it down, meant beloved of God. And I need to live in the humility of beloved of God. Because without that, there's no revelation.
Right.
That's another thing God's been showing me. The revelation of pride. The arch enemy of God has multitudes of masks to deceive you. Pride comes in selfishness and greed and criticizing other people. Pride comes in, look at me. Pride comes in, please don't look at me. I'm not going to stand up and do anything because I don't want you to see me. Pride, pride, pride is the opposite of humility.
Exactly.
None of us will have a full impartation of what God has for us until we accept humility, until we fall in love with humility, because it's the opposite of pride.
Amen.
So what they said about you, so what? So what they lied about you? They lied about Jesus. So what, they don't like you? They didn't like him either. His name describes who he is, and his name is holy. His works are holy. Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Whatever God is doing is holy. It doesn't matter who he's doing it through. If God is the one doing it, we need to have greatest respect, care, and assist and listen to the one he's doing it through.
Amen.
All of his works are holy.
Yes.
They're to be set apart and treated different than everything else on the face of this earth.
Right.
With the greatest respect. His spirit, Psalm 51:11. His spirit is holy.
Yep.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God calls his spirit holy. And we don't understand everything about God and the Trinity. In sign language, this is Trinity. Three and one. What I love in John 17, though, is that he said he wants all of us to become one with him.
Right.
And the Father and the Spirit. He wants us to be one. That's what he prayed for us, to be one with him.
Yes.
But his Spirit is, there's something different. Now, God the Father has let us get away with talking bad about him. Jesus let us get away with talking bad about him. Jesus is God. The Father is God. And the Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
They all three are in such perfect, complete, blended unity that you can't see one without seeing the other. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. But there's something different about the Holy Spirit. Because blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the one sin that cannot even be forgiven.
Right.
If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven.
Right.
Now, it's real tricky on exactly what does that mean. But we know that it means like to curse him or call him unholy. And you know, people don't just do that. They use God's name when they swear. They use Jesus' name when they swear. People that aren't saved, sometimes people who are, they do that. They blow up and they curse using God's holy name. And though he doesn't like it, and I'm sure there are consequences, he forgives them. But you don't hear people cursing in the name of the Holy Spirit. God has put some kind of guard on people that they don't just foolishly do that. But when we begin to call human waste holy, I think we're dangerously close.
Amen.
Dangerously close to a blasphemy just as bad. Take the word holy and never speak it unless you are referring to God and the wonderful things of God, the people of God, the house of God, the very ground where he walks, the oil that he breathes on to anoint. God himself is holy.
Amen.
Do not use that word. to describe unholy things. Make a difference in what's clean and unclean. Amen. And God has said to give this warning. Carry this warning in you. Begin to warn people. Our consuming fire, God, in His full holiness, is coming closer.
Yes.
And if you defile His holiness and breathe such blasphemy in His presence, you'll die. You will die. It would kill you. If God increased His presence in this room to that degree that He's going to increase it, and somebody said that blasphemous thing, it would kill them. And He has said we have to bring this warning. People have to be very careful handling the things of God, speaking of the things of God in a degrading way. I know we like to preach about His love and His goodness and His mercy, and that's so fun and it's so wonderful. But we have to preach these warnings right now.
Amen.
I love that on this day, He moved the shofars to the front. I don't know what these guys did to the sound system, but man, the powerfulness of the echoing of those shofars this morning. It was like, we're going to get to Joel where he says, sound the alarm and blow the trumpet and warn people because the day of the Lord is at hand. And on the same day we bring that message, our trumpets made a double sound. Isn't that amazing? God increased the warning, even of the sound of the shofar today. That is really a confirmation. Even the word holy sometimes has a greater definition. And when we got into this talking about the Spirit of God and none is as holy as God Himself, the word holy took on even a greater meaning than when the ground was holy before Moses. Now they've added that it is to fear and to revere and to tremble with a terrible, awesome awareness of who God is. Isaiah 40, 25. In thinking about using that word holy and describing things of this world, consider this scripture. Isaiah 40 and verse 25. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? When you use the word holy to describe something, then what you're doing is comparing that thing to God. He said, to whom are you liking me? What are you making me equal with? Would we take God, described by the word holy, and equal Him to waste, to defecation, to a cow, a mackerel? Think of the places you've heard people say that word. There's all kinds of them. I don't even want to think of them. But every time you hear somebody say holy and any other thing that follows it, it's comparing that thing to God, equaling that thing to God. Give them a gentle, loving warning. Oh, please don't say that. Only our God is holy. This thing you're talking about is unholy. Please do not compare it to God and use His word, holy. I know you're afraid they're going to say, well, they'll think I'm judging them. No, judging somebody in the way we are not to judge is criticizing, condemning, and like you want to take them out and whoop them, you know? Well, they deserve to go to jail. They deserve to go to hell. I can't believe they would do that. That's judging, condemning. We are to judge righteously, and we are going to judge the very angels.
Right.
And judging righteously is compassionate and kind and good. If somebody is driving off a cliff and going to kill themselves, you are not wrong to tell them that. You're doing them a favor. If they're blaspheming the name of God, then kindly let them know that and ask the Spirit to quicken it to them and get them out of danger by not doing it again. One time I went in a house, in a really bad house. I mean, it was really bad. The lady answered the door in a robe, and she was naked. She just flung her robe open to see if she could offend me. So she's standing there naked. And I said, can I come in and talk to you about God? She said, yeah, okay. Her kids were hiding in the kitchen cupboards, and the house was just, it was a terrible place. I opened the Word of God and started to talk to her, and she used some defiling language. And I said, I don't deserve your respect. I'm a sinner just like you. But this is the Word of God that I have opened before you. Please respect His Word because He is holy. Please don't talk like that when we're reading His Word. And she said, I'm sorry. And that woman, I think she got saved. I'm not sure. But she did start coming to church, and God affected her life. Okay. It didn't offend her. It delivered her.
Right.
If we do it in love.
Amen.
Don't let people defile your God.
Amen.
Proverbs 9:10. I love this one too. I love all of them. I love the Word of God.
They're all my favorites.
They're all my favorites. Now, I do have favorites. John 17 will always be my favorite. The whole chapter. That's my life prayer. Uh-oh. Did I say the wrong thing?
Proverbs 9:10.
Oh, I'm in the wrong verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. You're getting it today. You are getting knowledge of the holy today. You're getting some knowledge about what is holy and what it means. And now you need to understand and own that knowledge. The fear of God is the respect, the reverence that He deserves. So if you want to get wise, start having reverence toward God.
Amen.
Exceeding moral reverence and a dreadful fear of offending. Proverbs 30, while we're in Proverbs, just whoop over to 30. Anybody know who Agur is? I don't know who he is. Whoever wrote Proverbs 30, it wasn't Solomon. It was Agur, the son of Jakeh. In verse 2, he says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy." He realized that he had not understood and owned this knowledge of holiness of God. And he said, "I'm brutish. I'm just like a brute, barbarian, caveman, because I don't have any wisdom at all. I did not understand this knowledge of the holy." When I read these things, when God showed this to me, that's what I felt. I said, "God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I didn't understand this knowledge about how important the word holy and all that that contains and means. I didn't get it. But now I do. And now I'm going to love and honor and respect this word because it belongs only to God." God is getting ready to come closer. Look at Joel 2:1. We are in preparation. We are in such a time of preparation. We really need to wake up and realize that. Because you know the Bible warns that in the day that Jesus even returns, that people are going to be eating and drinking, getting married, just life as usual. And they had no idea this is the day He was coming. Joel says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." Zion is God's people. Zion does not mean out there to the sinners who know nothing about God. First, it begins at the house of God.
Amen.
Judgment begins at the house of God.
Right.
And when he told Joel, when it's almost time for God to come and do something, he said, "Go to the house of God. Go to the place of my people who care about me and want me. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is nigh at hand."
Amen.
He's saying it's here. It's so close. It is right here. Blow the horn. Sound the trumpet. Tell my people. Get ready. It's close. It's very, very close.
Amen.
Look at Isaiah 17:7. "At that day shall a man look to his master, and his eyes shall maker. And his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel." God says, when I come, then you'll know. Then you will have respect. But if you didn't prepare yourself, it might be a little late to stay in your fleshly body here. You might have to go to heaven and have that respect if you weren't ready. We want to be here. Why do we want to be here? I mean, that's just crazy. Why would we want to be here? Going to heaven's better. Some people foolishly just say, "Okay, so presence of God comes and it kills me and I just move on up to heaven where everything's wonderful." But did you miss the purpose of your life?
Yes.
Did you miss what you're here to do?
There you go.
The very thing that completes you, satisfies you, what you were created for, what you were put on this earth, that just frustrates me to see people resist their own good. People are going along, but I don't want to give my life to God. I want to do this. I want to do that. I like what I'm doing over here. I don't want to give God my life. Why? He created you. He designed your particular model. And He put in you what you're supposed to function and do. And that's the only thing that can make you happy.
Right.
It's the only thing that is pleasing to you because it's what you were made to do. And then people go, I don't want to do that. Yes, you do. You do want to do that. You're just corrupted by sin, who's blocking your vision, and you don't even see what that means.
Yep.
You know, I say it all the time. God called me into the death work. I didn't want to go. Why? Pride. Didn't want anybody to look at me. But after I gave into it, I loved it. I didn't ever want to leave it. And then God said, leave it. I don't want to leave it. Yes, you do. Wait till you see where we're going next. Oh, we're going into seclusion and misery. I don't want to be here. Yeah, you do, because this is where you're going to mature. This is where you're going to learn miracles. This is where you're going to be in such dire need. You need a miracle, so I'll give you one, and then you'll learn I can. You don't need a miracle, you don't get a miracle. You can't just pray, God, put food on the table that I don't pay for, when you got money in your pocket. You have to need food on the table. You got to get a little hungry.
Right.
And then you learn some miracles. But I didn't like it in that place. I know. But it'll make you appreciate where you get to go next. And you'll really love it when you get to go there. I don't complain about living 2.5 hours away from my kids after living 3 days' drive away from them. After a year of my life living in Texas, thinking, I'm going to never be any closer to them. I'll see my kids maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 or 3 years, you know. I'm whining and complaining about that. He moved me here 2.5 hours away from them. No complaints, God. No complaints. I don't want to live 2.5 hours away from my kids. Yes, you do. Because I've got things for you that will complete who you are and what you're created to do that can't happen over there. It can only happen here.
Yep.
You go there if you want to. If you want to live that distance away from God, because what He's doing that involves you is here. You can't be happy anywhere outside of God.
Amen.
You can try and try and try. You cannot be happy with anyone outside
That's
of who
right.
God has for you.
That's right.
You can try to hang on to those friends, but if God doesn't want them in your life, you will only be miserable doing that.
That's right.
Sideline. Side note.
Good note.
God is coming. Isaiah 52. I have been fully infected by my husband. I can't look at a watch. I just have to go till God says we're done. Because if I look at a watch, I'll start going, oh, it's been too long. You know, so He's infected me. I had to become timeless. The whatever clock, all the numbers fell off my clock too, I guess. 52:1. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. God is talking to us. He says, wake up! Wake up! Why do you want to walk around in that old nasty, dirty, stained, ripped up garment of a life you're wearing? Put on your beautiful garments. Put on the Holy Spirit of God. Put on the beauty of wearing God in your life.
Amen.
No more keep letting these unclean things live in you. Be my people. Let me live in you. Wake up. 1 Peter. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Amen.
It's not just your words. It's your whole lifestyle that he's after.
Amen.
Chapter 2. Still 1 Peter. Verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
This word peculiar people here has a different meaning. The last time we read we were a peculiar people, it meant a treasure unto God. A lot of you have been a treasure unto God for a long time. He just keeps loving you and kissing you and healing you, forgiving you, and being your daddy. But now he says you're going to be a peculiar people, and this time the word took on a different meaning. This time the word means purposed for a certain time in a certain place. You're a purposed people, a chosen generation, placed here at this time in history for a particular reason. They didn't get this in the Old Testament. They didn't get the end times. Yeah, they walked around when Jesus was on earth and after he died. They did a lot of miracles and they saw a lot. They saw some healing. I'm going to say some. I only see record of maybe two that got raised from the dead. I see some people that got healed when they were sick. We're going to see healing.
Amen.
Bigger than they saw.
Amen.
We're going to see the glory of God cover the face of the earth.
Amen.
They didn't see that.
Amen.
We are going to see a power of God this world has never known. Why? Because we're coming near the end. And God's greatest, most powerful outreach to rescue the lost, because it's the last rescue that's coming. Now there's a visitation before that. There's a visitation before that. During the visitation, God will get us ready to carry his glory. Everybody won't make it to this end time thing. Those who accept the visitation and prepare for the visitation and allow the work of his presence during the visitation will prepare us for that. That will belong to the humble. Pride won't go there. Pride cannot carry that degree of God. We are in the breaking of pride season right now. This visitation that's coming, deeper repentance, deeper healing, and a breaking of pride out of our life. Because pride is the number one enemy of God. We can't carry God and live in pride. One of them gets to own the camp. The other one gets to visit now and then. But who gets to own the camp? Dearly beloved, I beseech you. I'm begging you. As strangers and pilgrims, don't belong to this earth. Be a stranger to the things. Be a pilgrim of God. This earth isn't, it's not our home. His ways are not his ways. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God wants you to let him shine out of your life in a way that even those that are your enemies, that are attacking you, gossiping about you, they can't deny. By beholding your life, they see God. They see God through you because you're letting God show through you. There's no pride in that. I was working with our young preachers and I made a little picture book a couple weeks ago, little pictures of pride, you know, and all that. And I'm talking to them about any time you get on the I, me road, it leads you into pride and you get in trouble, you know. I want this, but I think that. I want to be seen. So I said, look out for the I, me words, you know. And one of them said to me, well, I don't want to cause you to be proud, but you did a really good job making that book. I said, no, that's not pride, because you know what? I wasn't even going to make that book. God gave me an idea. He gave me all the ideas of making that book. And it's awesome. I love the book. God gave me the thought. I love the book. It's of God, from God, for you. I like the book too. Being excited about what God does through you is not pride.
Right.
That's not pride. Go ahead and let God do something through you and be happy about it. That's not pride. That's joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's okay. That's a good way to feel. I feel good about this morning. I feel good about this morning because I have sounded the alarm. I feel good because I have brought the word of God about His holiness. I feel good because I sense the presence of God here. And I know that He's going to burn this message into you. You won't be able to say it, defile that word again. You won't be able to, you'll cringe when you hear anyone else do it. And if you don't say something, you're going to feel terrible. Because I know the Holy Spirit is going to stalk you with this message now. He's a stalker. And I am inviting Him to stalk you with this message this week. Get Him, God. That we might learn the knowledge of the holy. That God can come closer to us here. Lord, we give it to You. We give everything to You. Come and stalk us. Come and correct us. Come and bring deep repentance. Come and expose pride. All the things that come with it, God. And deliver us from our enemies. We want You to come closer, God. Because we want to carry Your glory. And see the lost come to You. We want to see repentance in ourselves and others. That we can live in Your presence. We want Your kingdom to come. Because we don't like the enemy's kingdom. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen. I just want to give you an opportunity. An altar is a meeting place for God. Everybody stand up, please. An altar is a meeting place for God. Whenever you hear the word, you have two choices. You can obey or disobey. You can cooperate or rebel. If God's doing something inside of you, when you hear the word, you need to make a choice to do something with it. You don't want to just say, I'll deal with that later. It does not become more convenient. God's dealing with you now. He spoke to you. If you want to come forward and pray, now you don't have to come forward and pray. I'm not telling you that you're not right with God if you don't come forward and pray. I'm giving you an opportunity. When I first got in church, I'd gotten saved about a year before I got in church, 10 months. And when I got in church, the first several services I went to, I kept hearing what was said, and God kept dealing with me, but my heart was not right with God. I was saved, but my heart was not right with God. I was in His family, but I was out of fellowship. You could be in the family, but not be in right fellowship. Everything not be sweet inside of you. And I'd come to church and I would get all uncomfortable. You ever been in church, got all uncomfortable?
Today?
And I kept being uncomfortable. I mean, like real uncomfortable. Like, it was hard to be there. Reminds me of that verse. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It was like God was like pricking me, you know? And finally, one Sunday, every Sunday, He would give the word. And one Sunday, He gave the word. And every Sunday, He'd give the word. Every time He gave the word, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, He always said, come up and do business at the altar. Come up and do business with God. And I was uncomfortable, uncomfortable, uncomfortable. And I resisted, and God was drawing me, pulling on my heart, and I was fighting Him. You think I'm going to win fighting against God? You know my arms are too short to box with God. And then, thank you, sir. I feel better now. Okay. They reach the ground, though. He said, my legs are too short to box for God, too. All right. Oh. I'm going to love on that guy over there. I love that guy over there. I go over by him today, and I said to his wife, where's that hug? She gives me a hug, and he goes, you better give me one too, or I'm going to, and then he didn't know what to say, but he wanted a hug, you know? I like that guy over there. Big old teddy bear. Hey, now watch. Okay. What am I going to do, Lord? I don't know. So here we go. So I was uncomfortable, and he kept saying, come forward, and I wouldn't come forward. And then one service, I was in church just a couple of weeks, and the preacher preached, and God was dealing with me so much, he was just pulling on my heart. And I said, I can't fight him anymore. So I went forward, and I had such a relief, and then such a peace and joy in his presence. I said, I don't ever want to lose that again. So every single time I went to church for 25 years, I went forward. If I preached, I went forward. I didn't care. I just went forward. I wanted to get up at his altar and meet with him. Just, I'm here to meet with you, God. Whatever you're doing, I want to cooperate. Whatever you're doing, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. I'm sorry I caused your pain and your death. And I just thank you for never giving up on me. And I thank you for keep drawing me. And I thank you that you have a plan for my life. And I thank you that you love me. And Lord, what do you want today? And you know what? It's living Jesus. It's living in his peace. It's living in his joy. You understand? Living there. Don't you get tired of coming back? Don't you wish you could just live there? I mean, when you come back, you say, why did I leave? God wants us to live there. Do you understand? Do you understand? So, he's going to play some music. And while he does, we're just going to take a few minutes. And if God's calling you, drawing you, if you need to do business with God, just come forward to the altar. Talk with God. It is going to make a difference in your life. Come forward. Talk to God. Come talk to God. Let God work in your heart. Let God work in your life. Ask Him. Tell Him you need Him. Tell Him, God, everything I heard today, I want my life to be different. I don't want to say words that are not holy. I don't want to defile you. I don't want you to have to feel like you have to go around me. I want you to be able to come close to me. God, come. Work inside of me. Don't leave me where I am. I want to get closer. God, I might be close, but I need to get closer because I need you. I can't live without you. I need you, Jesus. This is your time. God's drawing you. God's drawing you. If you guys have perfect peace to stay where you are, just stay where you are. That's fine. If God's pulling in your heart, your arms are like mine. They're too short to box with God. Come get your peace. Come get your joy. Come do business with your God right now. Come do business with your God. Be open. Be honest. Talk to Him about what's going on in your heart. Talk to Him about what's going on in your life. Be honest. He already knows it. Tell Him. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you. Thank Him for forgiving you. Ask Him to work inside of you. God, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. And God, I want to live holy. I want to live holy. Maybe you just are at a place where you need to sit down where you are or kneel down where you are. Make your chair your little altar and pray right where you are. Maybe you just need to close your eyes where you are and pray where you are. But talk to God right now. Do business with your God. I know He's speaking to you. I know He's doing something inside of you. Just talk to God. We're only going to wait here about 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Just do business with God. God, I need you. I want you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you so much for being who you are. Help me to know you better. Help me to know you more. Lord, I need you. My marriage needs you. My children need you. My phone needs you. I need you, Jesus. One more minute. One more minute. God's calling. God's calling. One more minute. I went forward every service because I wanted that presence and that peace, and I didn't want it to leave, and I needed forgiveness, and I needed Him. And I just went forward every time and said, I don't want to be proud. I see those first few services, I was so proud, I couldn't go forward. And when I finally went forward that one time, and I had such a meeting with God, I said, I don't ever want my life to be less than this. I just want more of God. More of God. I just want more of God. Do you want more of God? Just tell Him. Just close your eyes and tell Him. I just want more of you, God. I just want more of you, Jesus. I need you. I want you. Lord, I don't know how to get closer to you than where I am. But Lord, I want to get closer, so I'm inviting you to come to me. Work in my life. Don't leave me where I am. Thank you for loving me where I am, but don't leave me where I am. Please come work inside of me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I commit these that have bowed their hearts, bowed their lives to you. And Lord, their needs, every one of them, the needs that they have in their life. I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, to personally meet with each one, to hold them, to draw them unto you, to help them to be open and honest, and Lord, to pour it out, and then to believe in you and your word, to not let grief and shame rule their life, but that, Lord, they would just put their lives in your hands, and that, Lord, that they would trust you, that you want to do what's best for them, that you will do what's best, and that your word is true. You're a man of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask that you would keep and protect and bless each person, each family represented here. Lord, my desire, our desire is that you would minister into each life, each family, that you would meet their needs, you would draw them, you would reveal yourself to them more as Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Help reveal yourself as Savior, as their friend, as one that cares personally and intimately about them. Now, Lord, we need you this week. Help us this week to let you, we want to live your life, but we want you to come live your life through us and help us to be mindful of others, to reach out to others, to love others to Jesus this week, and to love you. Just constantly remember to love you, Jesus, and to keep telling you how precious you are, because I think you're wonderful. There's nobody like you. Thank you for the people you surround us with. I love each one of them, and I'm thankful for them, Lord. I commit them into your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.